Well, Lord, we pray that your word, Lord, is just so powerful and comes out of who you are, that it would be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. You would hide it in us, Lord. May we honor it and cherish it, or that we may not miss the mark. We may not get off the path. In Jesus' name, amen. It's basically the word. Y'all know that. The word for sin is just really missing the target, missing the mark, really to get off path. So the whole thing, the word of the Lord, is to keep us on path, right? And on hitting the target every time. I've been kind of rereading and just letting the Holy Spirit show me some things. Really, again, in the life of Joseph, just rereading that, and just new things are just seeing things I haven't seen before, and it's kind of an amazing character to me, his whole life. And he, after he interpreted the dreams for Pharaoh, and he would get the interpretation, just kind of would come kind of quickly to him. And then he had Pharaoh put him in charge. He renames him. Pharaoh renames Joseph at that moment, you know, after Joseph gives him the dreams. And then not only does he give him the dream, but he has like this word of wisdom of what they need to be doing, the country needs to do over the next 7 years, how to take one fifth of the crops that come in and store them up for the 7 years of famine that were going to come after the 7 years of plenty. And then that's when the Pharaoh says, well, we got to find somebody. And he's like, well, you got it, right? God not only gave you the interpretation, but gave you the wisdom. And so he names him Zaphnath-Paneah, which could mean that God speaks. But actually what it means in Hebrew is God, the God who reveals hidden things, right? And just made me just pray, because he had been giving me some visions and dreams that I've had, and I really like those. I like them when God gives us things, because when he gives us stuff like that, and we have to start, we may not know the immediate interpretation of a vision or a dream, and then we have to just kind of start researching it. And like I don't know who, it may have been Bill Johnson or somebody came up with, there's nothing new under the sun. Somebody said it before him, I'm sure, that God hides things for us, right? Because it's in those kind of what I call a hidden things, when we start to seek and search out what God is saying through that, it's not only to me fun, but it also, in that process, God, there's a lot that God reveals about, him, about me. And when God reveals things about us, or if there are hidden things about us that we may not be able to see about ourselves, that God reveals, we hear that all the time. I say this all the time. God only reveals to heal, right? And God heals, but he reveals those things in us that cause us to have a skewed picture or understanding of who God is, right? Who he wants to reveal himself to, and all through Proverbs, it talks about, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There's just all this wisdom. And just to reveal who God is. I mean, who he is, not to us, but there's this lifetime thing, which I think is just very fascinating, that we're always moving into this greater, Bishop said, the greater room of encounter, which is a great word. Just a greater encounter. And every time we encounter God in a new way, there's something new or fresh we learn about him, about who he is, None of us have perfect theology. None of us have, you never really reach this place to where we're all knowing, right? I think for an eternity that continually we'll be discovering who he is, who God is, right? So it's really cool to read some of these things in the Old Testament, these characters, especially with Joseph, and I'm sure his day was, we don't get a day-to-day glimpse of his life, just as over a period of several years and a couple of chapters, but he didn't interpret dreams like that, not knowing the Lord. You know what I mean? I really believe that he spent his time, probably didn't have a lot to do, but, you know, especially when he was in jail, other than being in charge of the other prisoners, making sure they got whatever they needed, food or whatever. He probably had a lot of time on his hands, right? So I think he spent a lot of that time seeking the Lord, you know, getting to know God. Because when the cupbearer and the baker, you know, had the dreams, Joseph was just like, bam, you know, gave them an interpretation and immediately. And then same thing with Pharaoh. He just knew it. So, you know, he didn't do that just, I mean, he knew the Lord. I was thinking about a time, something the Lord said, been kind of speaking to me. It was a dream I had a few years ago. Kind of the readings and everything today made me start thinking of this scripture. I think it's in Ephesians chapter 5. So you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord, and walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. God, and we're trying to learn, right, what is pleasing to the Lord. That's our journey. Because when you we encounter the love of God, and when you you fall in love with Him, and it's a real love relationship, and it's even in, you know, with our relationships with people or marriage or whatever, there's this place, if you're really getting it, that you want to learn how to be pleasing. You want to please that person, right? Not out of fear or not out of, that's just an expression of love, of who God is, right? And as we're walking in this relationship with the Lord, we want to learn what's pleasing to Him, right? I want my heart, my attitudes, and what I do to be pleasing to God. You know, I was just fresh on my mind because speaking to this couple earlier, and we were talking about that, foundational things, and about marriage or whatever. Your foundation is got to be Christ. It's got to be Jesus, right? Because that's why we do what we do, right? I do what I do as this, or, you know, or a husband or a father or whatever. My first and foremost desire is to be pleasing to God. You know, does this attitude or whatever, is it pleasing to Him? You know, and I can use the word displeasing without fear, because if there's pleasing, right, there's got to be displeasing. So I want to learn what is, like he said, what is pleasing to God, what attitudes are pleasing to Him. And then he goes on, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but expose them. And he goes on, disgraceful to speak of these things. But I love this. All things become visible when they are exposed to the light. For everything that becomes visible is light, right? For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, arise from the dead. Christ will shine on you. Be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil, right? And the days are becoming more evil, if you haven't. We'll figure that out, right? Doesn't take a scientist to get that, right? And then it says, do not be foolish. Understand what the will of the Lord is, right? In all this context, don't be foolish. Understand what the will of God is, right? And then it goes on where that scripture says, you know, don't get drunk with wine. That's emptiness. But be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another and psalms and hymns in your, you know, heart, always giving thanks for all things. So this is all in context with each other. And I really think that we're kind of like, right, or we're here. That the light, God is light, and in Him there's no darkness. And as we are hanging out with the light, and we are moving into this place individually called encounter, we are encountering light, right? God, the light of God, the holiness, the glory. It's a good word, glory of God. Just like Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, when the glory of God just kind of, it says His clothes were brighter than any, you know, whatever clothed person, if there's a word for it, could make them, you know. It's like that now. We're just in this glory time, and my time with the Lord is just a real glory time. It's a glory where the glory of God, and there's light. But in His light, I see light. That means what's calling forth in me is my union with Christ, who I am, right? Is light. It's coming forth. I see light. And I can see, again, we talked to the other day, light overcome. The only thing that overcomes darkness is light, right? And the Lord doesn't spend time with me to expose my darkness so I'll see my darkness. He wants to bring the darkness into light. So it'll be light. So it'll be calling forth, right? This in that particular area of my life where I'm in, where it's His life flowing now. And He's exposing things that are hidden, right? The other day I was just in prayer and I could see like this, I guess it's the Lord or an angel, maybe Jesus or an angel with this flaming sword. It just kind of went down in my in me like this, like, you know, could be in so many different things, right? This flame, so much. But I know the sword, of course, in Scripture a lot is the Word of God, right? The Word of the Lord, the sword of the Spirit, and the flames have a lot to do with the Holy Spirit, the love of God. But I really knew that was like a Hebrews 4:12, where the Word of God is living and active, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and pierces the far division of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of your heart, right? That His Word was going to go real deep in me. His light was going to go real deep in me. So cutting away, separating the where I'm, you know, may not be where I'm not walking in His in union with Him, right? Where soul and spirit, what is flesh and soulish, and what is spirit, right? That's a good thing. That's a really cool thing that the Lord is doing, and I think that word is just I don't think it was just for me, but for other people too. But for me, it's just been real powerful because the word of the Lord, which is, I think it was on fire because that had to do with, we've heard that a lot around here, that Song of Solomon chapter 8, like river flowing from the throne of God, this fire of God is the fiery love of God, right? And that many waters can't quench His love. And love is this, you know, this real powerful thing. And it's in Song of Solomon chapter 8, where this love of God with His sword is just going to kind of come in us, right? And God being in light. So love of God does that. Love of God exposes areas where I'm not walking in. His love exposes that. You see what I'm saying? If I'm not walking in an area and I'm not enjoying and I'm not walking in His in the fullness of God, it's the love of God that exposes, right? It's the love of God that shines in that, where I can come into in my own relationship, where I can come into union with Him in that area and experience the love of the Father, right? And seeing that in some new ways in my walk with Him, the love of Father, the Father love. I lost my father when I was pretty young and had a kind of a separation in my relationship with Him through my years of, carousing. And so there was a lot there. One thing, my father was a really good guy and really loved me. But he grew up in a home. His dad was an alcoholic and was physically abusive to him and beat him. He would tell me, hardly ever talked about his dad, you know, and he would, every now and then, I think most of it was from my mother, you know, he would hear his dad driving up in the driveway and he would just take off running and run out and hide in the woods, you know, kind of, because he didn't know what, whether his dad would be drunk or whatever, you know, what he would encounter. And part of growing up with him, you know, and he knew the Lord. He was saved, you know, but he wasn't a man who could quote scripture or anything like that. And but did make sure we were in church. And I was in my 20s before the Lord really got a hold of me. But he would he would tell me things, like say, if he couldn't provide for me in a certain way or get me some things I wanted, and or as a kid, sometimes he would tell me, you know, that he was going to get that, or it was on its way, you know, in the mail or whatever, just because he didn't want to disappoint me, right? Because he didn't want my rejection of him. So he would tell me things all the time, and it just didn't come true. So I didn't really realize this, but on my walk with the Lord, as it, you know, went on, I would have a hard time sometimes with the promises of God because of that, right? Because of my experience with my father was, this may be true or may not be true. I don't know if it's going to happen or it's not going to happen, right? So that was one of the things, you know, years ago the Lord began to expose, and even now, about that his promises is always based on his character, right? God's promises always based, I can say, yeah, God says that he's going to do it. He made a promise he's going to do it, right? I can say that. But do I believe that, right? Do I really internally believe that God is going to do what he says he's going to do based on my performance, or is it based on who he is? And sometimes that gets all muddled, right? It gets all mixed in there. I may think, yeah, I'm really trusting the Lord, but there's maybe something in me that's really not totally sure, because maybe I haven't been acting right or responding right, or maybe I've done something wrong, something that we all deal with, right? It's part of our warfare, and it gets all muddled. And one of the words the Lord gave me is that about clearing up the mud, like in a creek or something, where, you know, you walk through, it gets muddy, and then everything kind of settles down. So as the Lord was speaking that, as he, this time, this is a word for all of us. This is a time where he's really exposing hidden things. Hidden things in our relationship with him that we don't realize, or we never knew was really there, right? For our good. Not to expose, to point something else out about you, but it's about false thinking of who he is, so that our minds, the mind of Christ, and where we come into union of how he thinks about us. We hear that all the time, right? How he feels about us, how he is in a certain situation. And so our minds are always being renewed, but he really is kind of, I mean, putting the, as we say, the pedal to the metal. If you don't know what that is, that means flooring, you're putting your gas, you know, pushing it all the way to the floorboard. It's just kind of like that now, where he is in his relationship with us. So he's he really wants to, this word encounter is such a big word right now. Really hear me in this. He really wants you to encounter him, right? I find it so easy. There's times in my life where, you know, kind of getting in the presence of the Lord seemed to kind of would take a little bit longer. When I mean, you know what I mean by that, right? I mean, he's always here. He's in here, right? I mean, where my antennas are, you know, like my favorite Martian. I don't know if you remember that. You remember he used to have those little antennas that would come up, kind of lock in, where you're just kind of locking in on him. And so it's been a glorious time, a good time where, but whoa, man, there's my, a lot of thinking that I have that's not right. You know, it's not good. And it's been like, I'm excited about it. I'm not excited that my thinking is not good. I'm excited about it's been exposed to get my thinking right about him, who he is. So I was stressing the other afternoon. Now in the morning, it's like I go in my time with the Lord. I saw this picture one time, and this you know, person would go in as a kitten in prayer time, and they would come out as a lion. You know, I think that is really true, you know, but sometime during the day, I kind of seem to transform back to that kitten again, you know, and then I have to go back in there and come out as a lion and go back as a kitten. And I was just talking to the Lord about that. I said, man, how can I get my thinking so screwy in a couple of hours? I'm just like I'm forgetting everything that you just, you know. And so he was just speaking this encouragement to me, and I'm going to really keep my journal with me a lot more than I do, not leave it here. I'm going to have to reopen it and go back to what he has said, and because that was just one of the things he said. Well, why don't you just, something real simple, Craig, read back through what I spoke to you today. Duh. I mean, like, okay, yeah, that's a good idea. And so y'all, it really is in, I know this is kind of all muddled what I'm saying, I'm all over the place, but I just really want to encourage you that the Lord has given you a really grand invitation to enter into something now that's just very incredible that he's doing individually, right? And don't let the enemy beat you up. You know, I hate telling people, hey, don't come miss out on anything. And, you know, I'm not saying that at all. But the enemy will try to keep you from encounter. That's all, right? And distraction anyway, wherever, you know. So that's where our warfare is, to try to keep us from the encounter, right? Try to keep us from getting to this, our favorite hamburger hot dog stand, right? And we're headed toward it, right? And people are, you know, something's pulling us, say, hey, come here, let me, just trying to distract you to get to the good food, right? Okay, well, let's stand. I'm going to pray for you, all of you. Lord, I just thank you for everyone here, everyone who's watching. Lord, no guilt, no condemnation for everybody, but thank you, God, that you've made a way, Lord. You've made a way to the Holy of Holies. Lord, you live in us, and you make it so cool that we can come and feast on you today. Feast on your presence, God. Thank you for that. So everybody here, Lord, I just speak fresh encounter over them. In Jesus' name, amen.